We'll get started this morning. This is Memorial Day weekend, and I do realize that it is the beginning of the summer. It is the beginning of everybody going on vacation. School ended for me on Thursday, and Thursday after at the second after I clocked out, I jumped on the motorcycle and I said, "I will see you maybe in 2 months." But it is something that at that time, at this time, you know, this was a big weekend. You know, everybody's going to be barbecuing and all that good stuff. And hopefully you take a moment and pause and really remember what Memorial Day really is all about. And that is the folks that have served our country and died in battle for our country and so forth. And we'll just take that, take a moment or two or three or the day, better probably, and just, you know that really what's going on. In years past, we've taught about the what Memorial Day is, stands for and so forth. And I'll be honest with you, as ambassadors, we are duly representatives of God our Father and our and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we're in this country, and we're in this foreign ground, and we need to be very aware of where we are residing and what how and where we do business, if you will. And you have to. Paul is a big proponent of being a good citizen, and you need to be a good citizen. And people, I know they get objection. Well, the government, da 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 da. Well, you need to go study Romans 13 again, and study the passages where Paul says that we're to pray for the magistrates and the kings and so forth. And what he's saying there is be good citizens and so forth. And in Memorial Day, you need to do that. But also this weekend, 8 years ago, we moved into this facility. And actually, it was yesterday that we did it, but date-wise. But we did move into the facility 8 years ago in 2011. And so the weekend really for us carries a little bit more than just remember the military guy, you know, the folks who've passed away. But and again, with in light with the debt being dealt with and eliminated, it is a wonderful thing. I told the guys on the board a couple years ago, I would have never in my wildest imaginations seen the bottom line that we had. I don't remember what the numbers were. It doesn't matter. When we first got started, you know, you fill out all your paperwork for the 501(c) and the status and everything, if you wanted to, we did. And the guys there at the time when we formed and did our incorporating papers and everything, that's what they wanted to do, so that's what we did. And they asked one of the questions is, how much offering are you going to get? You know, how much income, you know, and so forth, gifts, giving. And I'm like, I don't know, zero? How do you project that, you know? And I can remember the first time for the year we broke the $100,000 mark, and I was like, whoa, look at who would have ever thought, you know? And it's a testament, really, and it's a testimony to you folks, to the saints here, to those that are visiting via the internet now and so forth that aren't here in the room, but it's a testimony of what the grace of God means to you and means to us, to have in the community a pillar and a ground for the truth. And that is important, and it's very key. And as I get older and as we get older, this year is our 20th year and in business for 20 years. So, and I say it that way because it's easy to, you know, 20 years in the service, in the ministry. And it's a wonderful time. It's things to be celebrated and not to Paul was very, he would always say, remember, you know, let's remember things. And it's dangerous to let history go, and it's dangerous to not remember. So as we come this weekend and as we begin to think about things and so forth, and again, when you think about the folks who've died for our country, really all you can really say there is a thank you. And have it be heartfelt meant. As well, then, as we begin to think about here, all that I can really say is a thank you. Because without the folks, without the church, you guys, then there wouldn't, I'd be talking to, well, probably my living room still. And that's a testament to you folks. And I'll be honest with you, I have become more and more conscious of the high privilege to labor with all of you as partners for the cause of God's grace. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to work together, to labor together. Not just you folks sitting here now, but also others that aren't here today due to various things, and also folks on the internet. So I say all that kind of introducing, trying to get the morning rolling, because when we begin to think about Memorial Day, the folks that passed with us, Galatians 5:1 for me comes into mind, because we begin to think about and appreciate our liberty. And we begin to think about and we begin to appreciate our liberty in Christ. Galatians 5, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." There is a liberty that we have in Christ. And Paul's exhortation here is that we are to stand in what Christ made us free. What did He make us free? We are to stand in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. We're to stand in that liberty of the wonderful riches of the God's grace. And the fact that there was a time when you were His enemy, and now you are His. And when you begin to just remember, come back over with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. When you think about and you just simply remember some things about who we are in Christ, and I just want to spend the morning and do that with you, to have a memorial in your mind and in your heart about some things, and to just remind ourselves. John 8 in verse number 32, the Lord says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What makes you free? The truth does. Now, the truth that the Lord's talking about here is the truth to the 12 apostles, to the little flock, to the nation of Israel. But there is also truth to you and I. And when we come over to Romans chapter 6, when we come and we begin to understand and study the Word of God rightly divided, and we begin to study sound doctrine, we begin to real quickly realize that we've been set free from some items and some things in our lives. And what sound doctrine is designed to do is to come up now and begin to teach us and to begin to fortify that information, so then as we go and live our lives, we can live as the ambassadors that we are. We can live as His representatives. We can sit there and we can do and we can live life. And when we talk about living life, I have to pause when I say that, because too often times we, even us here, we think, well, we got to be doing this and that, or else, you know, the boogeyman's going to get us. But when we, and that's not the case. When we talk about living life, we're talking about where you live your life right now. You get up in the morning, you get dressed, you take a shower, you get dressed, you eat breakfast, you go to work. And yes, you do work at being retired. So you go to work, okay? You go and do whatever you're going to do. Young people go to school, they go to class, they finish the grade. School bus drivers, we drive you. Teachers begin to teach. You've got all this life that's going on. He's not talking about stopping life. He's talking about in that life, let's live as who we are in Christ. Man, when you think about that and you back up and you begin just to relax in who you are in Christ, life begins to take on a whole different meaning for you. You're a husband, you're a wife, you're a child, your family, your marriage, all of that begins to take on a whole different perspective. Romans 6, verse 17, we'll kind of jump around here for a minute, but then we're going to come back and park here. Verse 17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Notice, you're going to hear the truth, and what's the truth going to do? Set you free, right? Verse 17, Paul says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, time passed back there. But what'd you do? But you believed, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You obeyed some doctrine, didn't you? That means you begin to learn some doctrine. You begin to learn some information. If you drop down to verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we use that verse a lot in our soul-winning efforts, in our evangelism, but that sits in a context of really of your identity, of who you are. You see, the cross has set you free from, in this case here, the issues of sin. The cross has set you free from death. It's given you eternal life. It's come along. Come back up in chapter 6 here. Come back. Look back up at verse 6. Knowing this, I love that, knowing this. You know, I had a guy one time years ago, we were talking, and he goes, Rick, you just can't know. The stuff you're talking about, you just can't know it. And I'm like, yeah, you can. And he goes, well, what do you mean? I said, well, let's go to Romans 6. What does verse 3, verse word say? No. Doesn't say now. Okay. It says what? No. Know ye not. Verse 5, or verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Freed. Past tense. It is done. It is over. The issue of sin having control and rule and reign in your life is a done deal. And I know what happens. People will knee-jerk reactions. Well, wait a minute. I still mess up. Yeah, you do, because you decided to mess up. What does the condition of you say? What does the Word of God say your condition is in your identity? You are freed from sin, aren't you? The old man has been crucified with him that the body of sin may be destroyed. That's the condition. When God looks down and says, here's your condition. You've been set free from the bondage and the entanglement of sin. You've got some liberty. The liberty that you have and who you are in Christ, one of the major areas is this area here of sin. So why do we struggle with it so? Because we make the choice to struggle with it. We've chosen to do some things. We sit there and we say, I'm going to do that. Oh, no, Rick, I believe the Word of God and I really want to do it. I got you. I hear you. I'm with you. Then do it. Verse 14. You see, folks, believing what the Word of God says is the hardest thing to do here. Reading it, looking at, you know, we just read verse 6 and 7, didn't we? Was that an easy thing to read? Yeah, it was. Well, verse 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 words in verse 7. That wasn't too hard. It's not like the one verse in the Old Testament's got every letter in the alphabet but X or something, J or something. That's a long verse. You know? It's like, but you know what, man, those two verses are hard to do and hard to believe. And I scratch my head. I go, really? What does it say there? By the way, you keep reading verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Do you believe verse 8? Do you believe that you're dead with Christ and you're going to live with Christ? Yeah. Then why can't you believe verse 6 and 7? Do you believe verse 9? Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Do we believe verse 9 and 10? Yeah. Then why do we struggle with verse 6 and 7? I don't know, you have to tell me. Verse 11, Paul says it shouldn't be a struggle. Because Paul says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. You need to think about yourself. The way that we think about Christ and His relationship with the Father and His relationship with you, you need to think about yourself in the same light. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 11, man, is a big verse. How can I get to that conclusion that I too have the same as Him? It's because of verse 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. That identity information, it set me free. We need to remember that. We all struggle. I got that old man thing. I understand it. I get on my motorcycle. The last thing I want to do is go to work. Get up early in the morning. It's so pretty out. You know the heat's coming. It's about 80. You know, you're supposed to wear a helmet. Well, maybe, maybe not. You get going. Last thing you want to do is go. You want to pull over and go, yeah, I'm not coming in. Hang on a minute. Yeah, I'm not coming in, you know. Fake it. That little white lie ain't going to hurt nobody, you know. Hey, I got that. You like that. You want to. There's just some things you like to do. He didn't say don't do those things. He just says let's have a proper attitude about doing them. So I get up early Saturday morning and go on the bike ride. Okay. He's not saying don't have. He said, let's put it in perspective here, guys. You're free from control, from dominion. Verse 14. For ye are not, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That is an imperative. That is a statement of fact. And I look around and I wonder why we struggle so with that when the Word of God says what? Clearly on the nose on your face. What does he say? Sin shall not have dominion over you. It's not to run your life. It's not to control you. It's not to come in and to make you back under bondage. It's not to do any of that. How? Why? For we're not under the law, but under grace. Notice we're free from this, aren't we? Because we operate under the grace principle. The grace come over to 2 Corinthians 5. Let me show you the grace principle. 2 Corinthians 5. Hold on to Romans 6. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. Look at verse 7, 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians 5, 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge. The motivation of grace. The grace principle here, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live. First of all, what's the condition of all men? Dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. They're dead. They're alienated from God. Ephesians 2:1. So what did God do? He sent his son to do what? Die for them. He become Philippians 2, you start in verse 5, you run down about verse number 8, the original grace thinking. He humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of the, even the death of the cross. He said, over there in Matthew, he goes, if I called to my Father, he could call 12 legions of angels and deliver me. Woo! 10,000 angels, 12 legions is more than 10,000 angels. But the next verse, you know what the Lord says? But who will fulfill the Scriptures? What did he know? He knew that he could say the word and then his Father would deliver him, but he also knew there was no one else like him to take care of the issues of the sin, the redemption program. Now look at verse 15. First grace, part of the grace principle is he died for all mankind. He died for you. He did it willingly. The second part now is the life part. Which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You see, come back to Romans 6, the motivation, the grace principle here is you're not under the law. The law said, do it or else. Do it or get it in the neck, dude. If you don't do this, I'm going to come along and just spank you like a little child you are. My little children. Bend over, because here it comes. The grace principle says, no, I died for that. I've set you free. Now go live for me. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not, there it is again, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Folks, there's the answer to why you keep sinning. You've yielded in to the sin. You let it be the boss. You did that. God didn't do that. God says, I set you free from that, you dummy. You know? I think about, what you talking about, Willis? There it is, you know? I'm this little, for you younger guys, just YouTube it. You'll find it, okay? All right, different strokes. It's okay. I show my age every now and then. But see, the thing is what did God do? He set you free. You know what we'd come along and say? I know he did that, but I ain't going to live that way. I'm going to go over here. Oh, man, I sinned. I messed up. No, he set you free. You chose to mess up. But God be thanked, verse 17, that ye were the servants of sin, that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. Ye became the servants of righteousness. Verse 18 is your identity. That's who you are. Well, no, I have this. No, that's who you are. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Your identity is someone new, something new. Well, I still harbor that old anger, resentment of so-and-so. Well, you know what you need to do? You need to stop. You need to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. You need to, well, I can't do that. That's easier said than done. Old Bronx cheer. Give him the old, Archie Bunker was on TV again this past week. Give him the old Archie Bunker Bronx cheer. No, that's just a cop-out. That's just an excuse to go keep doing what you're doing. No, what you got to do is believe the verse. What's verse 18 say? You're free from what? You're free from it. You can make the choice, which, oh, by the way, that's what he's going to say now, verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Uh-oh, now, hey, what does Paul bring in? I know we still mess up, don't we? Isn't that the infirmity of the flesh? You still got that old sin nature running around there, don't you? You know why? Because he didn't call you home. If he called you home, he gives you a new body. You don't have that old sin nature anymore. But because he left you here to carry out the ambassadorship, you still got that struggle. So what does Paul say? Notice how Paul, the Word of God knows everything about you and how you think. Well, I think we can just keep living in sin because we've got God's grace. What's the answer? God forbid. No, bad thinking. Verse 19, for as ye have yielded your members, end of that verse, so now yield your members. You have the ability to take your body, your members, and to let it be who? Is going to be in charge. Who's going to run the day? The performance-based acceptance system of the religious activity, which is designed to keep you all down and pinned under? Or are you going to come over now and rest and relax in who you are in Christ and allow His grace to come along? And His grace says you've been set free from sin, and now you are going to come along and you're going to allow His grace now to reign in your mortal body. Verse 20, for when ye were the servants of sins, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is what? Death. You know, when you mess up, when you sin, you feel bad, don't you, later? You messed up. You know you messed up. You know you just did it because you wanted to do it, you know? You know you messed up. The Lord tells Paul it's hard to kick against the pricks. That book's working on you. He's pricking your heart. You know, what do you do? Dear Heavenly Father, I'm confessing my sin so I get your forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. Or do you reach over and say, you know what, Lord, that was the wrong thing to do back over there. That's what you died for. I don't think I'm going to do that again. And you adjust that thinking process. But now, verse 22. I love that. But now. Being made free from sin. Folks, if you don't remember anything about this morning, remember that you are free from sin. If you're in Christ this morning, He has set you free. He's given you liberty, freedom. And, verse 22, became servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, the gospel sets you free from sin. And it is designed then to come and reign and rule in your life. Come over to chapter 7. Chapter 7. We're going to skip those. Chapter 7, verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law. What else are you set free from? The law. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith ye have been called. I just messed that one up because I was singing the song in my head. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What are we? We're set free from what? The law, that yoke of bondage. Colossians 2, it's on the overhead. We're not going to look at it. You know what He does at Calvary? Colossians 2, verse 14 and 15. He abolishes, He does away with the handwritten, those ordinances, nailing it to His cross. His cross comes along and says, you know what? I've set you free from sin. I've set you free from the law. 7:6 there. And you know what I made you? I made you alive unto God. Come over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. You see, folks, we need to remember that we are free today. And we need to let that freedom ring and reign and rule in our life. But with that freedom and with that liberty comes great responsibility. The law says, if you perform, then I'll bless. If you don't perform, then I'll curse you. Right? That's pretty simple, isn't it? Grace comes along and says, it's a gift. I did everything for you. There's nothing for you to do. Now go do something for me. Go live for me. With grace, there is great responsibility. There is great accountability. The Lord over there, Paul looks at you and says, one day every man is going to give account of himself at the judgment seat of Christ. I always thought about that. What in the world would you say to Christ? Well, I built this. Hey, we got the building paid off. Didn't you see down there? Boy, it was fine. We did this. We did that. All this stuff. Christ, just sit there and listen. let you beat your gums for a little bit. What would you say? Well, Lord, I did. No. The only thing I think you can say is thank you. You did it all. Or you could say, I don't have nothing to say, Lord. You did it all. When you give an account of yourself, you're giving an accounting of what He's done for you and how you've taken that and lived life for Him. Titus 2, verse 11. The grace of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. The grace of God is going to come and teach us how we are to live. Calvary set us free from sin. Sin has no business. Sin doesn't even make it onto the plate of our thinking. The table of your mind. When you renew your mind, when you renew day by day, renewing your mind with the sound doctrine, with the who you are in Christ, you know what begins? Look over at Philippians. Oh man, this is so great. Philippians 1. Folks, you gotta, if you can get your, you are so free. You are so set at liberty because of what He did for you. Philippians 1. Verse 9, Paul says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." So that mental attitude, that love, mental charity, valuing and esteeming the things the way God does. When you look at things the way God looks at in your life, think about your life. I think about mine all the time. I think about decisions I make. Things that come up. When you think about your, what does Paul want to happen in verse number 9? He wants some judgment and some knowledge to do what? Abound more and more. Get bigger. Grow. Abound. Bust out all over the place. I've lost some weight. I'm trying a new diet. Not really. But I've lost some weight, okay? Yeah. Hey, I'm dead set that the word diet, it's got die in it. And I don't know, every diet I've ever tried has died. But so you begin to lose some weight. You know what? Hey, you know what caught me was I put on my sport coat one day and it didn't fit. So in the past, I've got like 5 gray jackets in 6 different sizes. And I say 6 because the last one on the inside, not on this one, then the other one says portly. So it'll go over everything, you know. I'm like, all right, we're good there, you know. I didn't even know they made such a thing. Linda, hey, look, honey, I found it for you. It says portly. I'm like, oh, with a meathead like you, who loves you, baby? You know? You put on that sport coat, and you know what's happening? You're busting out all over. Time to get a new one or lose some weight. So let's lose some weight. Especially when the doctor says, you need to lose some weight. You know what he says? I want that love. I want that value and esteeming thinking, that renewed mind to just be busting out all over you guys. Verse 9, that. Here's why. Here's why I have your mind and your thinking renewed day by day, and it grows in it, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That ye may approve things that are what? Excellent. In Romans 12, verse number 2, he says over there, that about renewing your mind, that you may approve the will of God. What is that? Good, perfect, excellent. Oh, I just messed it up. It's those days. That ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here in Philippians 1, you've had a few years now under your belt to grow and to mature and to have some maturity. He just says, I want you to determine things that are what? Excellent. Now you think about that. Think about what's on the table of your mind. What's excellent? What's good, acceptable, and perfect? What shouldn't be there? What is there? You see, your design, the design of the renewing of your mind, it is to move off of your table the things that should not be there. Sin. things that waste your time. Paul says we're to redeem the time. We're to walk as wise, not as fools. We're to walk circumspectly, carefully. Pay attention to things. Why? Time's limited. James says your life is but a vapor. Here 1 minute, gone the next. You got to pay attention to what's going on. Put on your mind the things that are what? Excellent. Now let me ask you something. Is Bible study good? Is going to church good? Should you Bible study at work when you're on the clock? The answer is no. Why? Wait a minute, you said Bible study was good. Yeah, but you're on the clock. What are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be working, being that good worker, aren't you? Now, is being a good worker important? Yeah, Paul says you should be. Got to be the best one there. Right? Ephesians 6. But Bible studying on your job, on the clock, isn't the best. So what do? You jettison that, don't you? You pick the most excellent. It's a simple, that's the issue. Verse 11, by the way, here's the results. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Woohoo! Which are by you doing and being there and studying and looking. Which are by Jesus Christ under the glory and the praise of God. Who's filling you full of righteousness? As you take in that renewed mind, come back there to Titus 2, as the grace of God teaches you, verse 12, Titus 2:12, as the grace of God teaches you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to look at that issue of sin that's going on or coming up, or, you know, you remember that game, Whack-a-Mole? That little mole, whack, get down, whack. Yes. Don't even let it on the board. You're denying it. You're stopping it. You're not yielding to it. Ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live the renewed mind. Click. You come along and what are you going to do? You're going to live soberly, clear-headed. Woo, think properly. Renewed mind thinking. Thinking soberly, righteously. And godly in this present world. You know, you come along, you've been set free from sin. It no longer has a dominion over you, no longer has a control, no longer has a table on the table of your mind, place at the table. By the way, if you have something in your thinking that is bad, what do we need to do with it? We need to put it off, don't we? And we need to put on. Maybe it's got its roots down into your life so deep and so hard you just can't go, get out of here. Maybe it takes some time to do that. Maybe it takes some energy to do that. Spend the time and energy to do it. To say, I'm going to put that off and I'm going to work that way and I'm going to get there. That's why in Philippians over there, he'll say, hey, when we've attained the rule, we don't go backwards, we stay there. We move forward. Get it off. Come over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. You see, folks, with our liberty and with our freedom comes great responsibility. And under grace, it holds us more accountable. You know, when the Lord looks at you and I and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and He asks that question for you to give an account of yourself, and you know what He's looking at? And you say, hey, it's everything that's in you. I got it all from you, Lord. You said I had it. I got it. I believe. And he'll look at you and he'll say, then why didn't you live for me? Now, he won't say it like that. Probably would never say that. But that's what you ought to be thinking. Why didn't you go live for me? Live not to gain, but live as who you are. You've gained it all. Come and live as who you are in Christ. Man, go show up at the job. You know, and do Ephesians 6. Have the right attitude at work. I'll be the first one to confess some days I have a very poor attitude at work. I look at those kids and I tell them, get in, sit down, and shut up. I don't want to hear you today. Well, he's grumpy. I go, yeah, I'm going to be grumpy, and you're going to be walking. Now, knock it, you know. And they're like, whoa, easy. You know, bus, yeah, exactly, bus driver. I'm like, that's right. Then I hit a curb. Oh, curb check. I said, what did I tell you? You know. You guys got to relax. It's only Sunday morning. Jeez. Hey, I'm the, you know, pull up to school, let them out, smile. Hey, how you guys have a good day? Looking at you weirder than where it could be, man. Then there, those are few and far between every other week. I understand that struggle, but what do you do? What did you yield yourself to? Did you give in to it? Or did you just look at them and know that they're the savages and the heathens of the world and they need to get saved, but you can't say anything because then you're crucified, you know. But they still need to hear, they still need to see who? They still need to see Christ. That's the point. See. Galatians 5, Paul warns us about our liberty. We have it, folks. We can go and live. You know, you can leave here today, take your Bible, burn it, throw it away. Never talk to God, never think about God, never do any of that. And you've been sealed to the day of redemption. And when the trump blows and you're called home, you'll go home and you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And your life will be put on review. And your wood, hay, and stubble will be burnt up. And your gold, silver, and precious stones will be left standing. And for some, it will only be who they are in Christ that's left standing. Because there's another side to our liberty. Galatians 5, verse 13, that we need to be aware of and be accountable for. Verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, what? Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. There's a warning there. What are we to use our liberty to go do? Service. Good works. You see, it's not enough to just be set free. Now we've got some things that we can go do. So if I've got stuff over here on my mind that I got to jettison, put off, what am I going to put on? Those good works. And I'm going to be what he says there in Titus 2. We didn't read the verse 14 and 15 about being zealous of good works. And I'm going to have a renewed mind and a shift in my thinking where I'm going to say, you know what? He died for me. I'm going to go live for him, come hell or high water. And boy, when we do that, the old adversary pokes his head up and says, hey, what you talking about over there? 1 Corinthians chapter 8. You have to be careful with your liberty. You have to be careful as you go along. Your design is by love serve one another. Come along and do some good works for one another. Last couple weeks we've been talking about giving and money. One of the issues in raising money and working is that thing in Ephesians 4 about having to give and help other people. You know? But you got to be careful with that, don't you? Like the sign on San Clemente Pier, please don't feed the birds, because as soon as you do, you create a dependent population. And I ran into the janitor, the city worker out there one day. I was down there, and I said, hey, I like your sign. He goes, yeah. He goes, I wish they'd put a parenthesis, and you create a big mess for the janitor, because he hated cleaning it up, but he had to. So I looked at him and said, yeah, but you got a job. He goes, I do, and I make real good money. I'm like, okay. 1 Corinthians 8, notice verse 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. You're to be careful with that. I know it's got a context. I'm not looking at the context. I just want you to see, you got to do what? You got to be careful with that. I got liberty to go live any way I want, and somebody coming up that doesn't quite understand all those nuances does what? Oh, yeah, hang on, wait a minute, buddy. So you got to be careful with that. Come over to chapter 9. Paul does that, by the way. By the way, in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, 10, and 11, Paul is dealing with liberty and how to make decisions in questionable areas that are, for some, are very questionable. That's why when we looked at the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table stuff, that sits there in that passage, in this section. Chapter 9, verse 19. Notice what Paul did. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Now, you have to be very careful with this section, because he's now going to say, to the Jew I become a Jew. You know, you can't do that. And if you try it, you're wrong to try it. You actually violate 2 Timothy and Titus. Who is the only person that can do what Paul just said there in verse 20? Paul. Was he not a Jew? Are you a Jew? You're not a Jew. He was. He had a provoking ministry to do that. To the weak I become weak. I mean, the principle is the issue. Chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 33. And again, look there at 9:19 again. Notice the end of verse 19. That I may gain the what? The more. What am I going to go use my liberty and do? Serve others. Serve one another. Gain the more. Chapter 10, verse 33. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Boy, look at Paul's heart there. What's his goal? Is Paul not an apostle? Chapter 9, the first 6 verses, he lays it all out. Am I not able to get married and have this and that live? Well, yeah. He says, you know what I do? I use my liberty to gain the more. I use my understanding of the renewed mind that I am free from sin. Sin no longer has dominion over me. It has no dominion in my life and in my thinking. It doesn't even get on the table of my thinking anymore. I have renewed my mind. I put it off. I put on so that I can come over here now and I can do ministry. I can do the good works that need to be dealt there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, he says it very clearly here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Notice Paul's attitude. By the way, that's my ministry verse. That's a verse that I wake up usually every morning thinking about. How to help others. Not working for me. I understand me. I got hard enough. By the way, I got enough troubles running my own life to have dominion over your life. Try to dictate what you do. Could you imagine getting that email from me every morning? Okay. Dear folk, keep you informed, all folks. Please make sure you're. You get up, run your life. Just do it as who you are in Christ. Do it from that vantage point. Paul here takes his own personal feelings out of the situation completely. And he makes the doctrine the focal point. He uses his liberty to serve each other, to serve others. So you have a choice. Come over to 1 Corinthians 7 and we'll be done here. 1 Corinthians 7, I love this verse and part of this verse. So you see, folks, and then go back there to Galatians 5, verse 1. So get two references, 1 Corinthians 7 and Galatians 5. So you see, folks, you got a choice. By the way, all of this should just be a reminder for you this morning. And if it's not, and it's something new to you, take a breath. Take an afternoon. Take tomorrow morning, you're off from work. Spend the morning and read. Just read Romans 6, 7, and 8. I know you had other 3 chapters to read, but read those. You have a choice on how you're going to use your liberty. Are you going to use it to keep under the law, under the performance system, so that you can keep sin on the table and just fulfill the lust of your flesh? Or are you going to come along and jettison all that and say, you know what, I'm going to be who I am in Christ. I've been set free. I'm going to go live my life this way now. Because I have freedom to do that. I have liberty. Paul, you know what he says? You're free from sin. You're free from the law. And you're to use that liberty and that freedom to go serve other people. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 22. Paul here, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant." Folks, you're the Lord's free man. So, let's do what Galatians 5:1 tells us. Let's stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Let's stand in who we are in Christ. Let's not go back and be entangled in stuff that we're not. Let's stand and do that. And again, I look around the room. Most of you I know, if you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, you need to get in Christ, because you're held under the bondage of sin and death and hell and the lake of fire and eternal separation, eternally being without God. Eternal is a long time. And you do that simply by trusting His Son. You don't walk an aisle. You don't sing a song. We're going to sing a song here in a minute. We're going to sing Glorious Freedom, by the way. It's in your hymn book. It's in the paper in your pew there. We'll get there in just a second. You don't do anything fancy or special. You just, in the privacy of your own heart. By the way, that's what faith requires, is privacy. Not publicity. Privacy. You just simply trust Christ. At that moment, He'll do for you what He's done for everyone in the room that's trusted Him, and He'll set you free. He will take the tethers and release them. He'll break them. He'll set you free from sin. And He'll give you a job to go do. That's fantastic. But you have to make that decision. For the mass majority of you that I know that are in Christ, we have a decision to make. We can be servants of sin, or we can go be servants of righteousness. James says that a double-minded man is unstable in his ways. You can't serve two. Pick it. Get off the fence. Okay? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the morning, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for everything You've done in Your Son that You've given to us. I thank You for the folks here, their willingness to sit, to learn, to be reminded, to study, to look at things, and to rejoice in them. And as we go today and every day of our lives and all of our week, that we would do everything to be for Your honor and for Your glory and be well-pleasing for You, so that You would get the glory and it would redound to Your glory. In Your name we pray, amen. All right.